So no matter what it is, we'll be the champions. Oklahoma, we've been it.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Drill Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Curtin-Biddle and Brian Clark.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are ready to say OU is going to win the national championship in the 2025-26 season. I don't know if this is actually the podcast for you, but we're going to find out. We're all going to find out together at the end of this pod. We're going to make a definitive answer to that question. So if you're interested in a definitive answer to that question, this is the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill podcast fueled by OU Insider and On3 -/:/ Rivals. I am Jesse Crittenden. Is that joke ever going to get old? I'm Jesse Crittenden, and I'm joined as always by Coach Brian Clinton. And Brian, two things. Rate that joke, the On3 Rivals joke I've been making. Rate that joke, one. And two, rate OU's chances of winning the national championship after beating Michigan on a scale of 9 to 10. 10 to 10. 9.9 to 10.
Yeah. Greatest joke I've ever heard. 9.9.
Thank you. I'm only going to keep doing it. So that's
also good. Also the same score for OU's chances of winning. Chances, dare I say, destiny to win the national title in 2025-26. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. You heard it here, folks. The pod is over. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. But, okay, that does seem... Look, OU beat Michigan last Saturday, 24-13. They beat Michigan. They played Temple this weekend. They go to Philly. I'm going to Philly. Never been to Philly. Cheesesteaks? What is a cheesesteak? I don't actually... Is it a specific type of meat? Is that what a cheesesteak is? Or is it just...
I think it's
meat with cheese.
That's there you go.
Okay.
I think a cheesesteak would be a like the sandwich in particular.
Is there a cheesesteak tree plant? Where does steak come from? Anyways, I'm going to Philly. Going to Philly to watch Temple in what is going to be a really weird but very, very fun, interesting game. I'm sure. But before we talk about that, we don't need to break down specifically OU Michigan. We don't need to break down that game, but I think there's things to talk about that game, as it relates to the rest of the season, what this season means now. Cause Brian, we talked about it throughout the entire offseason that this was maybe the biggest game of the season for OU for all kinds of different reasons. Early season momentum, statement victory under Brett Venables, a prove it game at home, national exposure, all that stuff. Well, they did it. They won the game. And in a season that's long and has a lot of stuff that happens, let's just take a moment. They won the game. So now that they actually won it, from a broad sense, what does a win like this do? What did you take away from it? What does it mean for the season moving forward?
I think it kind of validates some of the hype, I guess you could say. It validates what some people were hoping Oklahoma could be, which is a juggernaut on defense and then very challenging to cover offensively. I think, yes, there are still the detractors, and there will continue to be detractors about Oklahoma's traditional run game. And I think there's some validity to that. But it really, to me, it shows that Oklahoma is in a great place roster-wise. From my point of view, Oklahoma was the more talented team. For this time right now, it was, especially defensively in the trenches, Oklahoma was far superior to what Michigan was putting out there offensively. Now, I think it also could, you could also say, where is Michigan at right now versus where they were a couple of years ago? And that's a fair argument too. I think really what it comes down to is look, Michigan is a team that ended last year by beating Ohio State and then beating Alabama in their bowl game. There are really high expectations, as there should be, for Bryce Underwood, and I think that he's a guy that is going to be a superstar. But right now, I think you are getting to see Brent Venables' scheme has reached its pinnacle, where now we're starting to see guys that have been in the scheme for 4 years, and everything is second nature. There's not really a whole lot of guessing going on. So that's one. Two, John Mateer is everything that you were hoping he would be, and it appears that the step up in competition isn't something that's really going to change his demeanor. And so those things combined, I think Oklahoma's got a really good team. You still have a really tough schedule, so I don't know what that looks like down the road, but at least for the time being, I think you might be able to elevate your expectations a little bit based on what we've seen.
This was, I think, to touch on some of what you said. I think my broad overall takeaway was this: the Michigan win was Venables' vision coming to fruition. It
Good.
was having a very, very stout, physical, impressive, versatile defense that is complemented by John Mateer just being awesome. Like, that's not very good football analysis, and there's like obviously there's stuff to like talk about why he was awesome. He wasn't perfect, but he was awesome. Like, that's the vision, is that like the offense wasn't amazing, it wasn't elite, but just having John Mateer on the field, all of a sudden you see like this is still a defensive football team. As much as
Correct.
John Mateer is the most unmeaningful Heisman favorite going into week three of the season, and he's warranted that. It's real. This is a defensive football team that just give this defense somebody under center on the other side of the ball that can make plays. And that's why they got John Mateer, was because you don't have to be perfect on offense. You don't have to be elite on offense. The offensive line was good. It was a lot better than it was against Illinois State. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be elite. You can have weird stuff with the running back rotation. And it doesn't matter because you have that guy under center making plays and you have a defense this good.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I look at what Mateer was in that game, and as impressive as that was, I think the thing that I walk away from is, if you can hold the football for 8 minutes, if you can hold the football for 8 minutes when the other team knows you're going to be running the football and close out a game, and you have a defense like that on the other side, you're going to win a lot of football games. Like that, if that is replicable, you're going to win a lot of games.
See, and that's the thing I put, and we're going to talk about stuff we can put stock into. I think that drive, also even the drive to end the first half, two very different drives that meant very different things at different points in the game, that were executed very differently, but provided similar results. You get a 2-minute drill, you execute really, really well, that ends in a score, then a drive to put the game away in the fourth that just drains the clock. I want to say something because this has been a little bit on my mind when we're talking about the defense. I think like we all just kind of came to accept that this defense was going to be good, and like the defense was good last year too. But like, I don't think this game wasn't perfect. This did not answer every question about Brent Venables' tenure in Norman. But like, let's take a second to appreciate how good the defense was on Saturday. And the whole time in my head, I was like, man, we're just taking for granted that OU's defense came out and out-physicaled Michigan. Think about saying that 5 years ago.
No way.
That OU's defense not only won the battle, but like beat them up,
Dominate.
dominated
Reset the
them.
line of scrimmage 1.5 yards or 2 yards every single play. The entire game plan on the other side is, let's just not get our quarterback killed. We need to do what we can to keep him upright. Like, yeah, that's a seeing things coming, seeing it put in practice and actually happen is just like, wow, the culture here has really shifted in the last 4 years.
No, it has. And think, like, is Michigan the most talented football team Oklahoma's going to face this year? No. And it's going to be interesting to see how OU holds up, even against Auburn next week. Not to overlook Temple. I'm not trying to slight you, Temple. It's just you're not the most exciting game on this on this schedule. It's going to be cool to go to Philly. That's going to be cool. I will see how they hold up against Auburn, against Texas, against Alabama, against South Carolina. Like, there's plenty of tests. But not just from a OU's defense thoroughly won the battle, but they dominated, beat them up in the trenches. Like, if you want to checkmark something on the Brent Venables to-do list, rebuild the culture and establish a really, really good physical defense, check.
Check.
That's box good. Is checked.
Yep.
I mean, this is still a Michigan team that has athletes and really big dudes on both sides of the ball, line of scrimmage-wise. Yep. And so, like, I just want to take a minute to be like, think about how poor this defense was for years and how it has grown under Brent Venables. Like, there's more to being a head coach than having a good defense. But, like, that is, like, we're just taking it as of course OU's defense showed up and won the battle. But, like, it was actually impressive to see how much they dominated that game. And I put stock into that in terms of how meaningful that is moving forward. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too.
I think also Corlin Guillory at cornerback is, like, a real thing. He leads the defense in snaps. He played every snap against Michigan. Every snap. Freshman cornerback.
If it is possible to garner more hype as a freshman corner than what we saw from Eli Bowen through two games last year, Courtland Guillory is starting to push the envelope there. Like, the guy has been nails, and he looked so good. He looked so good in that spot for a guy that was playing high school ball last year. Yeah. Dude's a stud.
Well, and the thing about him too, is I think is as good as, and I still, Eli Bowen might still end up being the best man coverage corner this team has. He
I
might
agree
be,
with that. Yeah.
I think the difference with Courtland is you watch the film and he's just everywhere doing a bunch of stuff. And I mean, even like he's at now the 75-yard run by Justice Haynes. There are a few guys that didn't play that well, and Courtland was one of them. But like, you see him making plays as a pass rusher. Brian, he has the third best pass rush grade on this entire defense through 2 weeks, according to Pro Football Focus. He has the best coverage grade. His third best pass rush grade, best coverage grade. PFF grades are not gospel, but I put stock into that.
Yeah.
There's one play in particular. He comes in a corner blitz, and I can't remember what part of the game it was. I should have wrote it down. But, like, he not only perfect timing, but he reads where the block is going to be. He reads the alignment of the line of scrimmage, adjusts in perfect time, and generates excellent pressure on Bryce Underwood. Yeah. And that's a true freshman. Doing that stuff.
That's instincts.
Yeah.
And that's what you can't teach.
Well, but that also speaks to Venables and this staff. Like, a part of building this program, rebuilding this defense, is identifying guys like that can just do that. Yep. How many guys has OU actually had on defense that as a freshman could do stuff like that over the last 10 years?
Before Venables got here, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. You certainly didn't see Buki do stuff like that.
I mean,
not to throw strays at a guy but like,
write the headline. Write the headline now.
It's just like, that's a guy that you go out, you evaluate the talent, you see what they have, what they've got between the ears, and he shows up on campus and look at what he's doing. That's another feather in the cap for sure.
Well, and it's just, I'm looking across this defense. I'm like, even, you know, Peyton Bowen has been great. The defensive line was just fantastic. And that's why, like, we saw when talking about like stock moving forward, David Stone looked awesome. The interior of the defensive line was fantastic. And why? What did we say if OU was going to have the best defensive line in the country? What was that? What would that have to look like? And it would be not only the depth on the interior showing up, but guys, but David Stone maybe being the biggest part of that, and guys just being at real difference makers. And you've got a four-man rotation on that interior that is just, I mean, nails. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid of any of those guys going up against any team in the SEC.
No,
it's not.
No,
you know, not going to be scared about that. Owen Heineke. I didn't put stock into that at all.
Nope. Certified baller. That guy, he has already surpassed any expectations I had for him. And the story that's now been repeated a couple times by BV while at the podium, of him inserting himself into the rotation and it ticking the coach off. Oh, man, it just that's the kind of stuff I love that. I absolutely love that. And he played like a man on fire on Saturday.
Yeah, he did. And that's what it answered. The whole defensive performance answered a question for me in terms of, should OU's defense be scared about going against anybody in the SEC? The answer is no. Now, is it going to be really interesting when they face a couple of these quarterbacks in more explosive offenses? Yes. That's going to be, I mean, because the defense wasn't perfect, but the secondary has been, I mean, even like a couple of the biggest miscues have been in the running game. And if you want to ask me how concerned I am about that, it's like zero. Yeah. The only thing that I was really looking at is, how is the secondary going to fare? And it's been, I mean, at worst, above expectations through two games.
Yeah.
To me, right? And that's without Eli Bowen on the field.
Right. Yeah. And Kendall Dolby, nowhere to be seen. Kendall Dolby. Yet. Like, yeah. This group, I think here is the best way to put it. Whenever we were talking about this team during the summer, kind of before fall camp took off, about if this defense could be elite. And it was kind of, I think the answer I gave was yes, but it was I was a little reluctant.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they can be elite, but I'm not sure just how good they could, like, the way that they reset the line of scrimmage. I think the defensive line is so good that I think the answer, that it would be disappointing at the end of the year at this point if they weren't among the top 15 teams in the country.
I was going to say 15.
Yeah. Like, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were top five.
Yeah.
They look that good.
I'm just, I mean, it was probably the second most impressive performance for me by Venable's defense with him as a head coach, besides maybe Alabama. That's the only one. That's the only other one I could think of. Yeah. But I mean, even Michigan scored one touchdown, and one of their field goals came on a special teams miscue. I just
Well, and here's the, like, my only argument for this being the better of the two is, I felt like with the special teams miscues, there were just several opportunities for Michigan to, like, get themselves back in this football game. And OU's defense never even blinked. Like, you played a really good overall game against Bama last year. Everything kind of just fell in place, it seemed like. But, like, dude, the defense put the clamps down. It was impressive.
You take out that 75-yard run by Justice Haynes, I think he averaged like 2.7 yards a carry.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, there you go. Offensively, I mean, I think we knew that John Mateer was going to run the ball more. I don't know if I expected 19 carries and the types of runs. I mean, just interior between the tackles, just taking hits left and right.
He is well put together. I mean, he absolutely absorbs. He absorbs contact. He absorbs contact like a linebacker does. Like, he really does.
He does, and that's what Brent was asked yesterday at the press conference about, you know, you want your quarterback running 19 times. I think he was even asked after the game on Saturday too. Like, to me, the obvious answer is no.
No.
They don't want him running 19 times. He's not going to run the ball 19 times a game in SEC play. It's not going to happen. He was imperfect and awesome and exactly what they needed, because Ben Arbuckle shrewdly noticed they were not going to be able to have a traditional running game, just utilizing the running backs. However, I mean, I do wonder what the balancing act with John Mateer is. I wonder what that's going to be the rest of the year, because, I mean, it's, if there's one thing to nitpick, and again, like, you're not really criticizing, because OU won the game and they won it handedly, and they did not only just enough on offense, they did a little more than enough to win that game. Right. But this has not been an ideal start for that running back rotation. I mean, even with Torrey Blaylock being a lot better than even I expected him to be, and even Javonte Barnes, shout out Javonte Barnes, I mean, did some really good stuff against Michigan. Yeah. It's not ideal that Jaden Ott has 5 carries for 6 yards, and it's not ideal that it doesn't seem like there's any clarity on what this team wants to do with the running backs, and even what mm-hmm. they can do with the running backs. So I do wonder what that, like, I don't think John Mateer is going to run 19 times, but I think it's likely he runs like 12 to 14 times a game.
Yeah, I was going to say a dozen carries a game. I mean, it would fit the mold. It would fit kind of what you saw him doing last year. And I'm kind of bunching in scrambles in there as well. You know, but you look at what Arbuckle, to this point, we've got 2 games to go off of with the current personnel at OU. We've got 2 games to go off of, and it looks like what Arbuckle does really well is finds a weakness, finds a spot that he can take advantage of, finds something within the defense, and he will continually press the button until they stop it. Well, just so happens when you have a guy like Mateer that's more than willing to run. I mean, we heard it all weekend, the plus one running stuff like that it's difficult to stop. It really is. And I think Michigan's front 7 is among the best that we're probably going to see from a talent perspective, especially when they got, the number one, their linebacker, their kind of their run stuffer. They're great. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they balance out. And I want to ask you, it kind of feels to me like Jaden Ott hasn't, it reminds me of Gavin Sawchuk in 23 or 22, where like the beginning of the year, it really felt like he's not quite in game. I don't want to say game shape, but he's like not up to speed, where things just don't look right. And then I'm kind of waiting for the pop, for the moment where I think it was against UCF for Sawchuk, where he finally broke through. But I don't know. Ott doesn't look 100%. I guess is the best way of putting that.
Well, and I'll get to that in a second. I wanted to mention, this is per Pro Football Focus. So this, and these numbers are a little askew by my quick maths, because Mateers has 26 rushing attempts on the season. I'm counting 21 here that they've credited to him, 21 rushing attempts total. So 13 of those runs are gap scheme runs. 5 of them are zone scheme runs, and 3 have been scrambles. So a year ago, he had 53 gap scheme runs, 18 gap scheme runs, and 47 scrambles. So actually, and again, these numbers are a little off. Pro Football Focus data can be a little screwy at times. Arbuckle, especially Saturday, called more quarterback design runs for him than he did at Washington State. I'm really curious about how much that's going to continue, because to your point, I think the Sawchuk comparison is a good one. I actually think it is more like last year's Sawchuk than 23 Sawchuk, where Sawchuk didn't look comfortable. and he was like an awkward fit. Now, everybody was an awkward fit in that Seth Luttrell offense last year, so that's not even about him specifically. But like, and it's just two games, so we're not going to write the book on Jaden Ott's season. No, but like, it just looks like they don't know exactly how to utilize him. I think that's one. Two, I don't think he looks fully comfortable. And three, I mean, Ben Arbuckle said it yesterday at the press conference that they're weighing more than just what can you do with the ball in your hands, and that's part of why Barnes and Blaylock have played a lot.
Correct.
It's not just that Jaden Ott wasn't healthy through most of fall camp. I mean, Javonte Barnes is a lot of things. He's also not a lot of things. One of the things he is, that was a really confusing way that I just said that. Can I back up? Javonte Barnes has never been, it's not fair to criticize him for anything he isn't. He's not an explosive runner. He's not going to make a ton of guys miss. What he can do is go block your ass. And he did that. And he's really solid in pass protection. Torrey Blaylock also is just a couple of snaps, has also been good and has been better than Jaden Ott in pass protection. That's the one knock on Jaden. That was the one knock on him at Cal.
Yeah.
Is he's not a good run blocker.
Yeah.
And now it feels like a flimsy-ish argument to not play him that much if he's not a great pass protector, because you kind of just need explosive guys on the field. But also pass protection is important. You know, they got to get it. Like, to me, if I'm like, what do I want to see at Temple? Like, the run, like, they should be able to have a traditional running game. The running back rotation should make sense, especially with, I think everybody watched that game against Michigan and was like, that's your offensive line.
Oh, for sure.
Those are your five guys.
Yeah.
That's your five. Right.
Easy.
So, like,
easy. Yeah.
This should be like now, and that was their first time playing together. Now you have a week under your belt. You go to Temple, like, This shouldn't be in Illinois State. The running game looks bizarre. John Mateer shouldn't have to run the ball 19 times. But Jay, it's just through 2 weeks, it's not been ideal. That's like the nicest way to say it about Jay. Not, it doesn't mean it's definitive or that it's doomed, but it just hasn't been ideal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you want, ideally, you want balance offensively. You want to be able to run the ball and throw the ball at will whenever you want to. And I think as good as Mateer has been in the passing game, if that running back rotation gets figured out, if they get the traditional running game going, I think all it does is open up more lanes in the passing game. So it has been confusing. Once again, imagine we're having a podcast and we're talking about the running back rotation at Oklahoma being confusing. To this point, I think you're right. This is the time where it needs to get right. Cause as important as the Michigan game was, and we talked about it, probably the most important game of the year coming into the year, just given where it lands and what's riding on it. You are 1 week away from that win or loss being notched in two brackets, and things just get more important and more difficult from there. And so, yeah, this is, you need to see, I don't know that I'm expecting them to just chew off 300 yards rushing. I mean, that would be great, but signs of improvement.
Here's another sign of improvement. The fact that they made the miscues and weird shooting in the foot mistakes, shoot yourself in the foot mistakes that they made, that we've seen this team do a lot the last several years and still won by 11. Mm-hmm. I have this weird thing where, like, I'm trying to think about, like, there's two different ways you could look at this. You could look at it as it's impressive that they had the special teams miscues that they did, not just one of them, but like all of them, and still won by 11. But at the same time, like, it's impressive they still won by 11. At the same time, they probably should have won by more. They were the better football team. Yeah. And it did feel like a story we had seen before of, oh, you just can't put this team away or can't really assert themselves in the driver's seat. And it's one of those things that's like, special teams, look, this is a team, I think they were 34th in special teams efficiency last year per ESPN. Doug Deacon, his last 3 years at San Diego State. San Diego State was top 10 in efficiency each of those seasons on special teams. So I don't think it's like, oh my God, everything's awful and it's going to be a huge problem for this team moving forward. But that's like the one thing. Again, this isn't even really good analysis. I'm just, if I'm thinking about like what am I looking for moving forward is, are there going to be games where OU is more talented and better, but because of self-inflicted mistakes, they can't take control? And is that going to cost them more against better teams in the SEC?
Definitely could. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'm not even saying that's symptomatic of Brent Venables or like, that's just, it is a story that we have seen several times the last few years. I don't know.
Something else I want to bring up. And I think this isn't something I've heard a lot of people talk about or say, but as I watched that game back, a second time, it feels like the clock management issues might be figured out.
They were certainly better. They were certainly way better. Way better.
It just, like you mentioned, the drive to end the first half management wise was great. The way that they managed the game at the end was awesome. It just, those were some things that you maybe saw be mismanaged. You saw some issues with that over the last few years, and it felt like this was the first time where I was like, okay, they really, like, there's a plan in place. We're not seeing timeouts wasted. When they, you know, Sherrone Moore, unfortunately for them, had to do that on the other sideline.
Oh man, two timeouts, like almost right in a row. Yes. Third quarter?
Yes. And I remember thinking to myself, God, that has been Oklahoma. That's been Oklahoma. Like that exact thing has cost Oklahoma games. And it was nice to watch it from this perspective and say, okay, there's marked improvement there.
I think that's, you see the Kevin Wilson effect. I think that's real.
Exactly.
I think it's real.
I do too.
And because I mean, and it wasn't even just, I mean, I thought they did better about getting defensive calls in more, in a more timely fashion. I thought that was better. That 8.5 minute drive, I mean, yeah, when you compared that to the dysfunction of last year and the Jeff Lebby tenure, like, what was the one thing about Jeff Lebby offenses is that they go fast all the time, never slowed down when they needed to slow down. And it was clear in that fourth quarter, oh, you needed to slow down. And they not only knew that too, but then they actually did it. So that's like, there's
successfully.
Successfully did it. And leaning on an offensive line that had never played together before, doing it against the, you know. So yeah, I think you can, like, if I think both things are fair. I think it's fair to be a little bit worried about some of the shoot yourself in the foot mistakes, but I think they also did better in areas that have also been struggles for them. And I think it's like, I think it's even like Isaiah Satania muffed a punt. He muffed two last year at Arkansas. I think I checked the numbers. But he was the full-time punt returner for 2 years. I think you can have confidence that that's not going to be a reoccurring issue. Jay, not a kick returner. You know,
continues to be an anomaly.
Yeah, he fair caught it on the next one and was like very much like, I'm just going to catch this ball and I'm not doing anything else with it. The jury is out on Tate Sandell, but I mean, they also, even with some of those mistakes, they also responded to them really well. I think you can put stock into that too. So I guess I think we said this game was important for a variety of reasons. Like, to me, OU won that game. They're going to play better teams. But to me, like, 9-3 at the minimum is staring this team in the face if they want to go get it. If they're healthy and they want to go get it, it's there.
Agreed. Yep.
And as long as Michigan doesn't fall flat on their face, and as long as the schedule doesn't end up being like, because, I mean, all 8 of their SEC games are teams ranked inside the top 25 right now.
Yeah.
If that ages well, go 9-3 and go make the playoff. Like, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Absolutely.
They weren't perfect. Like, that's the thing. They played well enough to win the game. They were impressive, but it was still like very far from perfect.
Yeah.
They win that game probably by
Another score. I watched the when I watched it back, I was sitting here thinking this game, a 34 to 7, 7 points being the 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Like that should have been the score. Like probably at the minimum, but you shoot yourself in the foot on a couple on the turnovers, and things get a lot closer. But yeah, you clean those things up, the win looks that much more impressive.
So I think when we look forward to this weekend against Temple, this is an interesting scheduled game because, yeah, so you play Michigan at home, you go to Philly to play Temple, then you come back to host Auburn, then you have a bye week, then you play Kent State, then you play Texas. What a weird, it's a really weird schedule. It's a really interesting schedule. Look, Temple, they're 2-0. They've beat the hell out of the two teams they played. I don't know how much that's saying, but they did. Evan Simon, their quarterback. Hey, man, hats off to you for, I think he's thrown 10, or is he thrown 10
nine,
touchdowns?
Nine touchdowns.
Thrown nine touchdowns. Good for you, brother. I don't like your name. I don't like your name. It should be Evan Simons. That's what your name should be. I don't like Evan Simon. I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's Evan Simon?
Yeah.
That's the epitome of two first names guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know why I'm talking crap on this guy. He hasn't done anything to me. I just don't like his name. Evan Simon. I don't like it.
Just got one of those faces.
It just doesn't flow off the tongue. But he's throwing the hell out of the ball. Way better than I could.
He sure is.
I'll give him credit for that. He is.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what the line is for
23.5 last time I looked. Opened at 25.5. It's shrunk by 2 points.
23.5. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Temple's got nothing to lose. They're at home. They play in the Eagles Stadium. That's going to be fun. Temple has nothing to lose. They're 2-0. I think there are fans genuinely excited about the program. They're going to try to throw the ball all over OU. That'll be fun to watch.
Actually down to 21.5. It's fallen by 4 points.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because of the leaked audio at the press conference yesterday from the OU reporters? Talking crap. I was just like, thank God I wasn't picked up. Thank God that wasn't me.
Is that Jesse? Yeah.
I was actually listening. I was like, okay, that's not me. I'm good. That wasn't me. I mean, I don't think Temple's not Kent State and they're not Illinois State. Like, I think Temple's going to try to throw the ball on them a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I think you know, if the game is close, that would still concern me in a bunch of different ways. But I think I'm more just interested in what this running back rotation looks like. What's the running game look like? I'm really curious about what the wide receiver rotation looks like. I mean, the wide receivers outside of Keontez Lewis, Deion Burks, and Jaron Kanick, and Isaiah Satania have 25 snaps outside of those
two. Combined. Yeah.
Total.
Wow.
25 snaps. Really curious if we see those guys actually on the field. I don't know. Also, Jaron Kanick has been awesome. Imperfectly awesome. Jaron Kanick has been. I just want to throw that out. Deion Burks has been awesome in that perimeter role. He's been fantastic. What are you looking for this weekend from Temple? What are you seeing?
Yeah. It's just the vibes of that, the coming from what you just experienced, which, like, by all accounts, not just the feel for the stadium at kickoff, but like Norman all day, the vibes were immaculate. Like, it was just awesome. What a, like, perfect really day was. For college football in Norman. Now you're traveling halfway across the country to a place most of these kids have never seen, never been, to play a football team that you smoked last year, and it's a morning game. Like it's just, I don't know, man.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. It's just like, to me, it feels like, I don't want to call it a trap game because, like, that, I don't know that that would be fair, but it's a letdown spot if for nothing else. Like, it's one of those games where if you don't have a player-led team or a team that is mature enough to handle the success of winning a big game like they just did, it being a sloppy, like, 24 to 14 game would, like, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, here's the thing, like, if this team is as good as we believe that they are, or can be, they'll go out and take care of business. And I would expect nothing less, because that's, I would bet Brent Venables is just eating it up at practice this week. Anytime somebody's loafing, like, we haven't proved anything yet. We have not proved anything yet. We are 2-0. This is not where, you know, you hear it and you hear the players talk about it. So I don't know. Like, to me, it just feels like a letdown spot. But I am cautiously optimistic that this team has the maturity to overcome that.
It wouldn't, to your point, it wouldn't shock me if it takes OU a minute to cover.
Yeah.
It wouldn't even shock me if that first half is sloppy. It wouldn't. Temple is not Illinois State. They're not. And that was a game that was 21-3 going into the fourth quarter. No, he was at home.
Yeah.
Season opener. So, like, it wouldn't shock me. And, I mean, Evan Simon, sorry, you know what? I'm going to issue Evan Simon an apology. I know that wasn't cool for me.
Was uncalled for.
It really was. I'm sorry, Ev. Ev man. Ev bot. Evan. Sorry, Ev. He's averaging almost 16 yards per completion. So if I wanna talk, he can just throw that back at me.
There you go.
I do think, like, Tipple's got a couple of guys. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if, like, they have a big play early and OU's offense has an early 3-and-out. Like, because you're right. Yeah. It's a weirdly scheduled game, and I don't even like getting into the narrative of, like, oh, you know, OU didn't respond well after beating Texas. They didn't. That's not a narrative. They didn't respond well after beating Texas in 23. Yeah. I'm not going to hold not responding well after beating Alabama last year, because last year was the enigma of all enigmas.
Yeah.
But it will. I mean, they have said the right things. The players did on Monday night. Brent did yesterday. I don't really worry about that. So even if they don't play well initially, I'm not going to say that they're not handling success well. Having said that, this should not be a close game.
No.
This should not be a close game.
No.
I think that's the nicest way to put it. Sorry, Evan. Count your team out. What am I doing?
Just ripping Evan a new. Did an Evan bully you as a child? Is there something? Is there an Evan that I?
I don't even know if I knew an Evan. I don't think there was an Evan in Stillwell. There was an Evan. I'm thinking there's a Simple Simon's pizza. So I was even trying to think.
Maybe you were bad at Simon Says. That's what it was.
Actually, I'm not very good at Simon Says. I'm a bad Simon Says player.
That's why you don't like it.
They do that, like, at NBA games sometimes. Like, the guy that comes in, he does Simon Says at halftime, and he does it, like, really, really fast. And he starts with, like, a big group of fans, and he whittles them down. I would be gone. I'd be gone like that. I'd somehow get out on the first move when he says Simon Says to do. I would still do it wrong. But to say to Simple Simon pizza, see, that doesn't flow off the tongue. Simple Simon's does. Simple Simon doesn't. Your name's bad, Evan. Sorry, Evan.
Yeah.
You give me, so this is fan corner. We're going to end this with fan corner. You tell me, OU beat Michigan, and what we said was maybe going to be the most important game of the year.
Yeah.
Volunteers of Heisman front runner. After 2 weeks, defense looks good. How are you? Tell me how you are feeling as a fan. How excited, optimistic, skeptical, pessimistic? How are you feeling right now?
Optimistic is probably the best word. I think I probably speak for a lot of fans whenever I say, like, I've been hurt before, so I'm a little bit scarred. Like, it's kind of difficult to really get too amped up. But I will say this. What you just saw Oklahoma's defense do to a young quarterback gives me a lot of hope for some of the teams that you're going to face down the road. Teams that are, because I think if the thing's going to be this year, if Oklahoma can light up a quarterback and force teams to have to run the football against them, it's going to be very difficult to move the ball with any kind of consistency against this team. I just think it is. You play a lot of young quarterbacks, Jackson Arnold included, coming up. Jackson Arnold, this is his second year starting, first in a new system. I still don't know how confident I am in him throwing the football down the field. I just don't know. We'll see what that looks like. But, I mean, Arch Manning, Simpson at Alabama. You just look at Simmons. There you go. Maybe Simmons.
Simmons.
No, Simmons. Right. I'm trying to see what Simmons sounds like. But,
Simmons.
Yeah, Simmons at Ole Miss. Like, you've got some younger guys that are going to it's going to be very difficult for them to have success, I think, against this scheme. So, with all that being said, I think if your offense just figures things out, yeah, I, like you said, this team is they're looking at 9-3, and I genuinely feel like, and I think I can say this with my chest more than I have at any point yet.
Let me hear it.
You can win every game on your schedule. You can win and should be in the, you should be in the game till the very end. I don't look at that schedule right now and see anything worse than a 50-50. I genuinely don't. So
I think that's the thing to quickly add to. I think that's the thing with this defense and John Mateer, you should be in every, they can be in every game.
Those are the two most significant factors in college football going back as long as I've watched it. If you've got great defense and a quarterback that can make plays, you are in every game. Period. And Oklahoma right now to this point has that.
I will say just about John Mateer, he's just a fun player to watch, man.
He is.
He's just really, really fun to watch.
There's some fatigue around the comparison, but it's hard not to make the comparison.
No, it's real. I wasn't even that interested in that discussion before the season, but like through two games, I get it.
It just feels like it's not the same.
No,
they're not the same players.
No, they're not.
But there's a lot of qualities that make you go, oh, I've seen that before.
Not only just his ability to scramble outside the pocket and make plays, but even just his, like, he is a risk taker, but those risks are also very calculated. He's not,
correct, yeah.
He's not, what's the word I'm looking for? He's not reckless. Even the risks he takes, like, I get it. And even the couple interceptions he's thrown are not bad decisions, and in some ways, just needs to be worked out with timing,
yeah,
and chemistry with the pass catchers and stuff. But those passes weren't bad throws. He had a couple of risky throws against Michigan, one that probably would have got picked off if it hadn't been for Satania. But it was the right throw,
right?
Yeah. So I think just that just makes it exciting too. It's just he's just a risk taker, but he's also smart. Or the logic is there with the risks he takes.
Yep.
It's really fun to watch. Brian, that's going to do it for us here on this episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Sorry to Evan Simon. You're a way better quarterback than I could ever be. So just know that. Know that. I get paid to cover football because I can't play it. You can play it. So good for you.
Sitting here giving him more bulletin board material.
I know, God, someone's going to clip this. Some stupid OUB reporter talking smack about Evan. Ev, man. Sorry, Ev. Good luck to you guys this week. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Appreciate you guys as always. Make sure to like and subscribe here. This OU Insider YouTube channel. Go be a VIP member over at OU Insider today. You'll get access to all kinds of stuff you won't get here. Brian, appreciate you as always. Appreciate everybody here listening as always. Safe travels to myself and everybody else going to Philly this weekend. We will be back next week on another episode of the Oklahoma Drill. Until then, you guys take care.